Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Amen. The Lord gave us the grace to start, and every other weekly service will be online till next year. Sunday is not online, so you still have to be here on Sunday. All right. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look again into the Word of God. One of the reasons why I'm very excited about... let's try to help the children, please. One of the reasons why I'm very excited about the Word of God is that it gives us an accurate template. If you look into the Word of God with a simple heart, you can be illuminated. Illuminated here, I mean that you can receive divine light. And the whole idea of receiving divine light is so that you will know what the Lord Himself requires you to do. And when you know what the Lord requires you to do, you automatically know the things that do not fall within the equation of the things that are permissible to you. This scripture, the Bible that you have in your hands, was collated by several writers, many of whom did not meet each other. And you can see the consistency in the writings. And, you know, from the first chapter of the book of the Bible, which is in Genesis, from the first chapter, you will find that, "And God said." That phrase, "And God said," is what captures the spirit of prophecy. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, this was also the first statement that Peter made. Say, "This is that which was spoken." All right? That in the final day, God said, "I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy, my young men will see vision, and the old men will dream dreams." So you have two seeing gifts and one utterance gift or hearing gift. Now, the gift of prophecy means to bubble forth or to speak by inspiration. So the spirit, and you look at the word inspiration, it means in spirit. Are we together? The word inspiration means in spirit. So you cannot operate in the gift of prophecy if you are out of spirit. Now, what does it mean to be in spirit? Number one, it means to be full of the presence of the Lord in your heart. To be full of the presence of the Lord in your heart. What do I mean by that? Let me break it down again. What it means is that you have hit a point in your soul or in your heart where there is a seeming consciousness of the presence of the Lord. So it's easier to hear God. A lot of people keep praying, "Lord, I want to hear your voice." That prayer is okay. But what you really mean to say is that, "Lord, help me to draw near to you." Because if the Lord draws near to you, he will not be quiet. Many people who complain, you know, somebody was in the office to see me some time ago, and it was like, "I just told myself, if I see the prophet, God will say something." Now, how did he come to that conclusion? You know, and I mean, that's my job, all right? But that is not God's best. God's best is that every one of us should be able to discern the word of the Lord to a great level, significant level. So this brother was in a meeting, a public meeting of about, let's say, 500 people. And I called out somebody from the congregation. I didn't know the man from anywhere, but I called the man from the congregation and I started to prophesy to him about his church where he attends. He happens to be a pastor or the pastor of that church. And I started prophesying to him about the church, about what was going on in the church that he was not aware of. It was a public meeting. All right. I told him about a specific woman in that church. And I told him, you know, I described and I tried to do a few things. And I went ahead and I told him something again that he was doing currently that nobody knew in that meeting. But He met the brother for the first time the day before, and they slept in the same hotel room. So they had some of these conversations in the room the night before. And then you come for a meeting the next day, and somebody says you, and starts to speak to you about the things that you were even listening to last night, that you guys talk late into the night. So the brother felt like, okay, if this is possible, I need to see this man because I also have questions. But when the brother came to me, by the time it was done, I just told him, I said, the Lord said you should go and walk in forgiveness. The Lord said I should tell you to be patient. He looked a bit disappointed, but I'm sorry, that's all I have for you. I mean, so as wonderful as it is that the Lord would sometimes speak to us through the ministry of the prophet, God wants all of us to have the spirit of prophecy. All of us. In fact, one of the things that will quickly demarcate you from every other Christian around you is your ability to discern his voice and the degree, the depth to which you are able to hear or discern that voice. Please notice that I'm saying discerning, not just hearing. Because many times the voice of the Lord will be discerned, not heard. Discern means that it will put a thought in your heart and you need to like, that doesn't sound like me. It sounds like somebody is trying to communicate with me. Then you begin to ruminate over that thing, and the word of the Lord begins to expand, and later you get some confirmations that this is the Lord trying to talk to you. Over time, when you get used to it, you may not even need to blink to know. So many of us, when we become Christians, we join the workforce of the church, we become very active. Meanwhile, what we should be bothered about is to take the first 3 years of our Christian life to learn things like this. Because the problem is, the moment you are being thrust into leadership, and people begin to see you as a matured Christian, regardless of your personal level of depth, it becomes difficult. It's just like someone that is supposed to learn how to calculate algebra. You didn't learn algebra. Then now you find yourself in Statistics 101. And the lecturer is not going to go back and ask you, oh, did you learn algebra in primary school or secondary school? So the matter of discerning the voice of the Lord is a foundation class teaching. Don't be so impressed by somebody who hears the voice of like, ah, God, I wish I can be like. It's good to desire it, but I'm telling you that you missed a class. And the thing about spiritual things like this is that you cannot skip class. An elderly woman came to me after I preached in a particular meeting, and she said, please, I want to ask you a question. In 1994, I went to visit my sister. While I lay down the pillow, I heard the audible voice of God. For the first time, my brother, after I heard you preach this night, I just thought, let me discuss this matter with you. You know, since that time, I have not heard the audible voice of God. And I am worried. This is 2024. I am worried. I want to hear his voice like that again. I was just waiting for her to finish. And I say, Mama, even me, I have the same problem. The woman looked confused because she was in the meeting and she saw me prophesying with great ease and detail. Like somebody that is prophesying like this, he must be seeing visions. He must be hearing voices. I told her, I say, if I tell you how I hear God, you'll be angry. You'll beat me, and then you say, where is the God that also spoke to you? I want to go and I have pankere here. Because these things are spiritually discerned. She was confused because I told her that for most believers on earth, if you are lucky, hear me well, if you are lucky, you will hear the audible voice of God once in your life. If you are very lucky, the first time I heard the audible voice of God was when my father died. They came to tell me. And it was not a conversation, it was just pam, and the voice went. So I've only heard that voice like twice in my life, and I'm not sure if I will ever hear it again. I love it, but I'm not wishing for it. Because sometimes the way the voice comes, it can be confused. You are not sure if you are if the voice is around you or inside your head. So the one that we are familiar with, let's stay there. So, but the woman was relieved because the woman felt like maybe God was angry with her. Maybe she did something wrong. Maybe she did not pass across the prophetic message she received properly. So God now stopped talking to her. And I said, no. I said, there's a difference between the supernatural and the spectacular in prophecy. So the supernatural is that God can speak to all of us. The spectacular has to do with the medium, the way he does it. Like, for most of us, you will hear God mostly through the inner witness. All right? I believe we know what the inner witness is. All right? So you hear God through the inner witness. And even many times as prophets, we prophesy through the inner witness. Now, the thing with the inner witness is that because we are called to prophesy, let me put it this way. Now, you see a rod, an iron rod, like, just imagine a dark or golden iron rod, this length. Now, that iron rod is the inner witness. Please pay attention. Now, if you are called as a prophet or you have a spiritual gift, that iron rod may have a curve because of the nature of the ministry. It's just an advantage. But if you are a believer and you are fervent in spirit, you will hear God more than a prophet who is lazy. I will see here. So many of us, we need to go into 2025 fully armed. And, you know, I was talking to Pastor Ejeje, and he said to me that we were at his house. So we just sat outside and we were gisting. He just said to me, Segbenga, he said, you know my background. Pastor said to me, he said, all these people that I know that are always looking for me, this president, that senator, he said, do you know that none of them has ever come to me to say, which school did I go to? Which school did you attend? Which school did you? He said, every interaction was because of one thing that I had, the ability to hear God. And you see, when I talk about all this spirit of entertainment and looseness that we are seeing today in the church, such that you can go to a secular party, birthday party, reception, wedding receptions, or end of year, like this end of year now, we'll be praying all through the remaining part of this period up to January 1, because people will lose their Christianity temporarily because of end of year party. Now, when you go to some of this party, are you dancing Don West dance there? Okay, there is no where in the Bible that is written that this is what a Christian dance looks like, right? But there are some of these dances, when you see them, you know they are of the world. Yes or no? You just know that this one, some of these dance steps are sensual. Which means if you're a brother, a lady must not stand in front of you dancing like that. My father in the Lord, Dr. Kumuyi, when we were going to that church, he said, all brothers sit like this, all sisters sit like this. He doesn't want to shout. Let's separate now. If your husband is here, just separate. And when we sing hymn, what a friend we have, there's no time to lust. But because we now have lost the power and the message and the presence of the Lord, we now feel inclined to appeal to a dying nation, a dying generation, by going, participating in the things that they love to do. We import the dances, we import the songs, we import everything. I was, what's his name? Pastor Zach. I was watching their live stream. You know, they were holding a conference. And even though it was an upbeat music style that they were, the brother on the guitar who was leading the, you could feel that he wasn't singing, no, just playing and this way. You could feel that they were honoring the Lord. You see, that is the idea about worship. You are honoring the Lord. It has nothing to do with wanting to look like the world. So when you invest your time and your effort trying to appeal and look like the world, then we now wonder where God left. Many churches, when we sing and dance here, the Holy Spirit go and sit down and be waiting. When they are true, will come in. Some even left. Nobody knew he left. And that's the thing with him. He's a very quiet person. If you don't want him, he goes elsewhere. So how do we know? Because this matter falls within the prophetic gifting. How do we know if the Lord even has left this church? How do you know if the Lord has left your life and moved to the next compound? The Bible says that Samson did not know that the Spirit of God had left him. He didn't know. Samson was a man of God. Samson did not know. Samson was a man of God. Samson was the judge over Israel. Samson did not know. Who are you? Why do you think you will know? Your greatest insurance when it has to do with spiritual things is that as long as the voice of the Lord continues to come to me, I know that I'm in a safe place. The moment I just look back and I cannot perceive that, okay, even when I just open the scriptures, the scriptures are not looking dead. They are not feeling dead. You know? As long as I'm still opening the Bible and I'm seeing, follow after child. Something drops out to me. Brother, you are on course. There are Christians, there are people, or seeming Christians, claiming Christians, supposed Christians, who have not received a rhema in 6 months. So they make up for that by going from conference to conference. That will not save you. You need a retreat. All of this is introduction. Okay, open. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I want to give you one or two things up front. How to strengthen the voice of the Lord, especially in the area of the gift of prophecy. There are certain spiritual exercises you will participate in. The first spiritual exercise is to always meditate on the Lord and the word of the Lord. So, you just have scriptures in your heart. Sometimes it may be the Lord even putting some of these scriptures in your heart and you'll be meditating on them. You may even be at the office, just meditate on the Lord. It could just, simple scriptures, like I've said, Lord always before me because it's at my right hand, shall not be moved. Those are the things, and your spirit feeds through meditation, not by reading. Come on, say, my spirit feeds through meditation, not just by reading. Now, there is a place for reading because the scripture tells that, and when we come together, we must come to the reading of the word of God. So we do not despise reading. But in terms of your spiritual nourishment, what are you looking for? Meditation. Meditation is just like when you put food in your mouth and you are chewing that food. That's meditation. Now, the word meditation is the word to mutter in the scriptures. Say, for this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, out of your heart, but you shall meditate on it day and night. The word meditate there means to mutter. What's to mutter? You are speaking under your breath. That means that when the word of God enters my heart, God expects me to put it in my mouth. Tell me, say, Pastor, I prayed. Pastor, I've been waiting on. Pastor, I've been reading the word. But did you put it in your mouth? Have you ever found yourself in a meeting, for those of us that lead small teams and all, have you ever found yourself in a meeting where before the meeting started, you didn't even know what you were going to show them? Then the moment they say, okay, let's look at John chapter 2, something just happened. Something just switched. Who has that experience here? So that's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit knows when you are ready to listen. So he goes ahead. I'm telling you how you will not run on your own energy next year. You'll be running on divine fuel. And that divine fuel comes from consistent download feeding. You are not tired. You are not, you know, the Bible talks in the book of Psalm chapter 1 about the tree that is planted by the river of water. It doesn't know if it's dry season or wet season. It doesn't know. It's always supplied. And that is the life of a Christian. So when you listen to what you are hearing now, some of you would think that you've even heard the message. No, you need to go back and listen to it again. And again, what are you looking for? The spirit of that word to enter into you. One of the things the Lord is saying to us that from next year, this church will rise to become a company of prophets. It will not just be one pastor or one brother somewhere making a lot of noise. The ones amongst us that have never heard God will start hearing God. And your life will become guided because of the word of the Lord. Now, because a lot of us are not versatile in this area, the tendency and probability that we didn't hear God when we said we heard him is over 90%. Innocent brothers, innocent sisters, they come and say, God said. Sometimes when I hear God said, they've not even said what it was that they said. God, I just hear bam, bam, bam in my head. I start hearing the alarm. That, it's not me. 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 I've not even heard it. You see? And I've... I'm rushing. 1 Corinthians 14. Oh, yeah. Let's do this one in 20 minutes. This, you see this prophetic teaching? Eh? This one, I enjoy it. I can teach like this for 4 hours. Eh? This is my field, so I don't need a note. Oh, yeah. Maybe we should even do, maybe next week we'll do prophetic school on YouTube, 3 days. I want to talk about how to identify warlocks and how to operate in high-level discernment. Maybe we'll just do that. Since we're all celebrating the birth of Jesus, we should be talking about discernment. Because Jesus came, the children of God, in quote, Israel, they didn't even know he came. It was magicians. Meanwhile, they were going to church. The high priest was there saying, they were doing that. Jesus came. Nobody knew. Follow after charity. Come on, say follow after. But desire. Come on, say desire. Spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. Now, our brother here brought out 3 items. Number one, he said follow after. What do I mean to follow after? Someone is from, I'm following after love. So this is the way of life of a believer. Because they say, God, speak to me. You are not working in love. We are not going to say anything. If you like, pray. Like, fast. You cannot force me to talk. These are the keys. So someone is looking for one special revelation. You know, all the special revelation is why we're in trouble. All right. I told I went for a meeting somewhere to preach. And somebody there, who was also a minister, came to me and said, please, can you just speak a word into my life? I said, I don't have any word. Is that not being honest enough? I just want to leave this place. There's no other room. I've blessed you. Let me go. We don't charge. Ajay Maloli. The woman blocked me. Said, no, I must give her a prophet. I said, I don't know how you people hear God easily. Me, I don't hear God all the time. It may shock you. The only thing that is setting in my house is my Netflix subscription. So I don't know any other thing. So if you want to hear God, bring me a ministry. The woman kept insisting, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. When I refused, she started prophesying to me. I said, yeah. Okay, you should have told me that you wanted to prophesy to me so I can kneel down and you prophesy. Meanwhile, everything she said was wrong. I didn't even have to pray. There's something about proximity to the Lord. It enhances your spiritual awareness. The person may even be quoting accurate scriptures, but your antenna will be saying, no, something's wrong with this person. Something's wrong with this person, sir. The Bible says we should follow after love. Hello, look at that scripture again. Follow after what? You know, God commended his love to us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But now he commands you to follow after love. Did you catch that? I said initially, God commended his love to us. He brought that love to us. Now, if you want your life, your spiritual journey to be approved of the Lord and of his presence, God says, now, you follow after what? After love. This following after love is what some people don't understand, and they are shouting one save forever and save. They don't know. If God will not send sinners to hell, he will apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, me, I like our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a very humble man. He walked among us. He healed the sick. Abi, did he not heal the sick? And he raised the dead. But he got to a point, he started raining curses. It's not your own Bible. Say what to you, he said, if the miracles I did, Oti Kalara. Like the thing enter him, like, this miracle we are doing, you people supposed to be born again now. Now lie. Say, want to eat. Can you imagine that the Son of God, like literally, people came to church not to hear the word. Say that church, they cook. After service, they go share food. Like, and the pastor knows. The pastor is upset. He could not even hide it. The man spoke and said, ah, you people, Jesus entered both, left them. They came to him. He said, ah, you must preach. He said, no, you are not here for the word of God. You are here for food. So if somebody is in your life only because of the things he's benefiting, how do you know? Because nobody sees the heart of man. Put up that scripture. Say, follow after what? Whose responsibility is this? Talk to me. Wait now. Look at it. Maybe there's somebody in your office called Charity. I said, Paul said, follow after Charity. Not the one in your office. Not that your colleague that you are in chemical engineering department together. This Charity is not a sister. Because somebody said, follow after. One brother said to me, he said, the Lord told me that any lady that accept my proposal is my wife. I said, you are going to hell. I say, you of all people, your level. That's how you want to know God's voice. Anybody that accept. If I were to be the devil, I will come to you. Instead of you to say, you don't know how to propose to a lady, let's help you. Is any lady that accept? No. I beg, give me Charity. But look at the subject of spiritual gift. What was the instruction concerning spiritual gift? He said we should what? Desire. Now, hey, look at this. Put up that scripture now. Just leave it here. What did he say I should do to love? I should follow love. So what does it mean to follow love? It means that the basis of my relationship, of my journey, my spiritual journey, is a love relationship with God. Where as I grow daily, I come into fresh understanding of his fatherhood, of my sonship or daughtership, depending on your what you like. I know I have come to know him as my father. This revelation of fatherhood, everybody says it. When I was going to that my manager, this is how I do a fatherhood. The person leading us and the person reciting, we didn't know who the father was. My own father too. He went to one church. He was carrying cross in front of the archbishop until the archbishop confessed that he's an Ogboni member. My father ran for his life. Instead of him to challenge the man, he just said, you have to know your level spiritually. My father took off. And here we are in Lagos. So, the Bible says for spiritual gift, I am to desire. That means there's some form of emotional engagement. Huh? The word desire is something that you crave. Huh? I want ice cream. I mean, we had somebody, was it last month or 2 months ago, we had a birthday for the children. And somebody, the parent, the mother of the child brought ice cream. You know, that ice cream tasted so different. I felt so ashamed of myself. Like, it's as if I have not tasted ice cream before. I was now looking for, like, that ice cream. Ah, they say, sister, that brother. I said, wow. Like, shame will not let me ask that. Where can I buy it? That all the people waiting for cancer, if they knew what I was thinking about, they would get angry and walk away. I just tasted it. I said, ice cream can be sweet like this. I'm the pastor. My brother, I saw the ice cream in my head. I saw it in my mind. I saw myself with a big jar of it. The ice cream is not yet around, though. And the ice cream did not come. But you know, I just had a little cup. And it triggered my desire. It triggered my desire. All you need to be pushed in this direction is to experience a spiritual gift. That's all you need. All you need. Let me tell you, before I start prophesying, my former church, it was very rare to see a young girl prophesy. Most of the people that prophesy were very matured people. And one day we were in church, and a young girl, the girl must have been like 10 years old. She just broke out of the church and started prophesying. Like, I'm in your presence. So, like, you could see that she was fluent. The spirit really rested on her. Me, I was not born again. No. The thing just caught my attention. Feyikemi. You could see that this is not the same girl, you know, because all of us were children. You know, that thing did something to me. By the time the service was over, I went and laid at the altar. I did, like, God came to this church, ignored me, went to Feyikemi. You know, I know this girl. I see her father, see the one. All of us, we play together. That, like, God came to your church. Huh? That day, I'm not sure, I'm more than 40. God came to the church and touched only one girl. And the pastor had to sit down. The girl started prophesying. I'm not sure the girl even knew what was. You could see that she was transformed. All you need to begin this journey is an experience with spiritual gift. Put up that scripture. Paul now said, above, more than all of this, is that I would want you guys to prophesy. The word prophesy there is where we get from the word where we have the Nabi prophets in the scriptures. So we have two types of prophets in the Bible. We have the seers and the prophets. In fact, before they were called prophets, they used to be called seers. I think from Samuel, that was when they started moving from the seer dimension to the prophetic dimension. And what it means is that to prophesy, to bubble forth. You feel a strong urge here, somewhere in your belly. Like you have been inspired to speak forth. There are some people that are gifted in the prophetic. They have not felt that bubble in 15 years. It's not a sign of maturity. It's not a sign of maturity. It's a sign that maybe the Lord has left you, or you left the Lord. Now, the gift and calling of Lord are without repentance, which means if the Lord gives you a gift, he will not take the gift away from you. But you can walk away from the gift. You can walk away from it. Which means the gift will now begin to wane. You won't experience it at the same frequency that you used to experience it. Then at some point, it will shut down. It will start now, the gift will start misfiring. Be shooting at the wrong persons. The Bible says we should desire to prophesy. Please put up that scripture. It says we should desire spiritual gifts, but rather that we may prophesy. So Paul is saying that there's an element of desire that is significant that God looks for before he begins to talk to you. There's an element of desire that I must have for God to begin to talk to me. Because this bubbling forth is the word of the Lord. This strong push that I'm having, like, as though sometimes, maybe when you're in church and there's under some intense worship, you just feel like, you know, prophesying or speaking out. That thing is the word of the Lord. The Lord says you want to kickstart it, you must have a significant level of desire to register in that school. Now, there are some of us who didn't really do anything to be gifted like this, but it does not take away the requirement, which means that even if the Lord has called me to operate in the gift of prophecy and I do not maintain the sincerity of my desire, I will be weak. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? Please pay attention, because some of you, you go online and you allow people to despise the supernatural. You know, I was just thinking today, like, I don't know what I was doing. I was in the room, and a thought just crossed my mind that if you watch some of those our Yoruba movies or Igbo movies, where you find a herbalist or a wizard making incantation. Many times when you listen to what he's saying in your native dialect, you know, they don't really make sense. Huh? Have you listened to some of those things before? In fact, the language for incantation is different from the language, is a bit different from the way you speak your dialect. Huh? So they use some very deep proverbs and some very deep words that you, even though you speak Yoruba, you may not even know or understand what that wizard is saying. Now you look at him and he does his finger like this and does like this and begin to say something. Then you, because you went to Cambridge University, you start laughing. Until a mighty force, dunamis, moves you and throws you into the forest. Those things, because the person observing the herbalist or the witch doctor is unlearned in spiritual things, he will be laughing until a curse begins to operate in his life because something was projected at him. When somebody says, I will deal with you, I will show you who I am. I was listening to one of God's servants and he made a statement. I was watching him on YouTube. I know when he made that statement, he said, man, you know, I was quiet because I was touched. He said, what, people don't know why I follow God the way I follow him. They think it's because I'm an eclectic person, I'm radical. He said, no. Some people think, oh, it's because I used to be a Muslim. He said, no. He said, my mother used to be an assistant, is this superintendent of police or assistant commissioner of police? Is this pastor talking? He said, then the mother had a disagreement with another woman, but the woman was a witch. The woman was a witch, but this mother is a senior officer in the police. So the woman felt like she could challenge, like if this other woman misbehaved, she would get the policeman to arrest her. Huh? Isn't that a fair challenge? If you are a police officer, won't you? I know a pastor. I will not call his name. The pastor is a police officer. The pastor told me he cannot remember the last day he used a driver's license last. And I said, ah, man of God. He said, who will catch me? he said, we are the one catching people. He said, ah, I thought about it. I wanted to be a police officer immediately. He's an engineer. He's not among those on the street. He's an engineer. He said, man of God, now I need driver's license. Me, I don't need that. I said, no, you as a Christian. He said, oh, God, calm down. He said, okay, who will catch me? I said, nobody. He said, go and do your driver's license. All I need to do is tell them Esprit de Corps. When I do mine like this, I move. You will be there answering questions about how where you got the car from and how and what you are doing here at 10 p.m. Me, I can move whenever I like. And I even have a gun. This woman, this pastor said, the woman that his mother was arguing with looked into the eyes of his mother and said, you will weep. I will make you weep. You will bury your children. This one is not in the dream. You are a police officer. Huh? You see why that your spiritual strength is not usually far away. The level of your spiritual strength is not far away from the kind of things you hear of God in your spirit. This woman had military power, her authority was backed up by the law. But when a higher law came, the law did not give consideration to the fact that she was a superintendent of police. The woman said to the mother, she said, I will make you weep. You will bury your children. You will weep like this. You will not know what, you will be useless. I will make you useless. Broad daylight. Same week, the man of God said, you know, he was a Muslim. The man of God said, two of his elder brothers were coming, they were in a bus, they were traveling, coming back to the city. The bus caught fire. Their bodies burnt. Said they never saw their bodies. Same week. Sorry, I want to ask. If you are the, God forbid, it's not even you, the woman who lost those children, do you think in her mind she's thinking, let's get police, let's go and challenge her? Or you did not, you not see waiting just happen? That level of certainty that can make Elijah say, ah, if I am a man of God, let fire come down. Elijah did not pray. Nobody shouted. You come a man of God. Okay, let's confirm. Why is it that all these people that we always benchmark as people who work with God, they are in the Old Testament, and you are claiming you have the Holy Spirit? Go and check all those people. They were not far from the voice of God. Go and check all of them that operated like that. Elijah, Elisha, Moses, Noah. Who else like that? Joshua, Samuel. They were not men looking for parties to dance at the end of the year. You will choose one. Whether to be a carnal Christian or to be a spiritual, you will just, the choice is now in your hands. Because January 1 now, all of you that want to decay your life, they will come again. A Christian is arguing, but what's wrong with Smirnoff? It's not really. So out of all the matters of the kingdom, the only thing you have an argument against, biblical argument, is that Smirnoff is not bad. That's the only thing that you are convinced about in the scripture, Smirnoff. This one you are very sure. You may not know too many things, but this Smirnoff, you've studied the Bible to that level. Come on, say, Lord have mercy. may I not get there? No. God forbid. May I not get there? So now this brother said, when he saw what happened, he was there when the mother was fighting with that woman and saw what happened the same week. He now realized that, power day. Police officer, president, commander-in-chief. He get where that one reach. And he knew that power was not in Islam. That's what brought him to Christ. Spiritual power has nothing to do with whether you went to school or not. You are the one with Cambridge degree. You are the one that spent $100,000 to go to America to study. At the end, they give you paper, write, use biro, write, sign, say you go to school. I say, if you meet with that kind of a woman or somebody else who is confident in the kind of power she has, how long will it take you to call on the God of heaven and he comes? I am telling you again that your proximity to God is not far away from what you follow after and what you desire. Two things. It's not far away. Hallelujah. Then the scripture began to speak to us about praying in other tongues. He said, when we speak in tongues, we are not speaking unto men, but unto God. And how many of you know in the last few years we faced a lot of intense warfare in the body of Christ against the subject of speaking in tongues? If you say you are speaking in tongues, what are you saying? The Bible says you interpret. I will not interpret and I will still speak. I will not interpret. Okay, what do you want to do with the interpretation? If I tell you what I was saying, I'm praying about your salvation. I'm praying for your salvation, Brother Marcus. You want to know what I'm saying? I'm praying for your salvation. Say, tell me, the Bible says, so you know where it is that if you speak in tongues, you should interpret. But you did not see where it was written that a man who speaks in tongues speaks to God. If I'm speaking to God, why are you eavesdropping? Why are you eavesdropping? That's how the gospel spirit begins to manifest. You saw me, you came and said, I'm waiting for him. You will be here for long. That woman that destroyed that superintendent of police children, she's outside. If I were you, you join us now and begin to pray. Don't trivialize spiritual things. The same way, I was listening to Apostle Arume. He was preaching one meeting. He now said that he spoke to a particular brother whose father is a herbalist. The boy says his father that if you see the discipline that the oracle demands from them, you like their power, but you can't do it. The oracle says his legs must not touch the ground overnight. Why? He said, as long as your legs do not touch the ground, if anybody tries to attack you in the realm of the spirit, they can't get you. That's what the gods, his own gods, told him. What did God tell you? You eat for a living. You eat for a living. Say, for he giveth his beloved sleep. That's the only Bible verse you know. He giveth his beloved sleep. But you have been sleeping now. Nothing has changed. Nothing has happened to your life. Say, Pastor, I hope you are praying for me. Really? You that you love sleep. You that sleep is your destiny. Me, I should not still be praying for you. This new year, I am telling you, none of us will be weak. Oh.
Amen.
Forget about, Pastor say we are fast. Now, the way it will be happening now, let me tell you. Next year, I will just come on Sunday after I say we are fasting tomorrow for 3 days. Meet me online. No notice. So that egusi soup, don't just be keeping food in the freezer. Ask me first that, Pastor, I want to cook soup. Nothing for this week. I say, okay, because it's you, nothing for this week. On a lighter note, anyway. So someone will go carry me to Instagram and say, the pastor is the one telling the church members what to eat. I'm not your pastor. Leave me and my people alone. One thing that I notice that most times, if we don't really do carry out those spontaneous 1 day, 2 days, 2 nights of just praying, pushing yourself. Just try. Push yourself. Try. See, let me tell you. I was, I don't know where Pastor David and I were traveling to. But while we were coming back, we were just having a conversation. Now, this old phone I'm using. You see how rugged, but it's very strong. Somebody has been looking down on me. That see the kind of phone Pastor is using. So it was Pastor David that explained the power of this phone to me. So if you are still looking down my phone, say you see. The reason why I when your destiny is precious, you have to protect it. I cannot buy a screen. So, Pastor David told me that I didn't know. Me, I'm very educated though. I've traveled far and wide, but I did not know this thing. So, Pastor David had told me, I come back. I don't know whether it was Ogun State or somewhere. When at the back, Pastor David said, Pastor, do you know that if I send you a text message, that I will not be charged. You will not be charged. I said, you mean WhatsApp? He said, no. I said, forget. MTN, they don't delay to take their money. Pastor David said, no, Pastor, it's iMessage. I said, text message. He said, iMessage. I said, text message. Like my own people, my grandfather, he said, text message. Pastor David said, no, iMessage. Pastor David, you are confusing me. Pastor David now said, this iMessage, he now said, okay, do you remember that when you watch American movies, most of the time they do a lot of texting? If you, especially those young people, they're always texting. They can text like 500 text messages in 1 hour. And it's like they are chatting. He said, in the US, they use iMessage more than WhatsApp. So anybody using WhatsApp is because of his people in Africa. And I said, let me try it. We were passing through the one area of Upon Network. I sent a message to Pastor David. The thing went. I was waiting for... My own is that once I see that they remove my money, it should give me my $4 back. Yes, and that... Me, I'm not fighting. Just give me my $4. We are not fighting. It's not. We are not in church. Just give me my $4. Or transfer. Pastor David was just smiling. I sent the test. Omo, they don't come out the money. Shame catch me. Like, as old as I am, I didn't know that if you are using an iPhone and you send text message to another person using iPhone and you have data on your phone, they don't charge you. I didn't know. I thought it's still that ITEL level. ITEL and what's that from? SAGEM. I'm trying to tell you something here. That the more you progress with the Lord, it's not only the ability to hear God that increases. The modus, the ways that he is now able to communicate with you become diversified. It's not one way again. It's not one way. You know, let me tell you something. So, most times when I am ministering prophetically here, so most of the times, you know, I always tell people, when I minister to people, I don't hear. Because it's slow. Hearing is slow for me. Because I have to listen to the whole story before I can talk. So I operate more with the word of knowledge, operational as closed visions or inner visions. Do you know what inner visions are? Okay, come next week. Inner visions and knowings. So sometimes I may look at the prayer and I say, Pastor Charles, the Lord is talking to me about you. As I'm saying it, all I know is that the Lord said he is talking about him. I don't even have the information yet. The moment Pastor Charles leaves his seat and starts coming here, the information will come. But I have worked with that thing to a point where I know the moment I can see that the hand of the Lord is in his direction, I know the message will come. If I now begin to struggle and I find that the message is not coming, what are those things I can do? And this is why I want to close now, because I want to give you something that can help you. Sometimes you may be praying in your rooms. Is this blessing you? You may be praying in your rooms, or you are maybe trying to meditate. You are studying the word of God. You just notice that sometimes just like God wants to talk to you, but that thing is not, you are not getting it. Have you been there before? You just perceive that there's something the Lord wants to say to you in this season. But you are not getting it. So, what you can do, number one, follow the Elisha approach. Go and look for spirit-filled worship. Please, I beg you, don't go for any tumba. Those tumba, they are good. I have them. It's when I want to feel like Ray that I listen to those ones. When I just want to, for the road, you know. My landlady, even though she was a high-level adulterer, anytime she finished committing adultery, she will now start playing Molagbara Lori Otami Molagbara. Do you know that song? Mama, you know that song? Na Ayefele. You know Ayefele? You don't know Yinka Ayefele? Hey. And I want Yoruba guy like that. Pastor David, do you know Yinka Ayefele? My brother, do you know Yinka Ayefele? That brother. It was the Merrymaker band. So he has all this. Me, I like the guy. You know, courtesy my friend Pastor Desmond. He just said, Molagbara. This is how she just be finding herself. After sinning, you see her. I'm the one she's abusing, you know. Because it's one window that separates us. So when she starts, you'll just be a Shaketabaya, Zekataya, Levakataba. She will increase. Yaketa. I'll go to the close to the window. Yakata. Yekata. I will disturb you people. I'm a bad boy, you know. Because me, I even want to leave the house. So we'll frustrate ourselves. I want you to give me quick notice. Let him pursue me. I left 6 months right there. I left. You don't know. You don't, if you meet some troublemaker, you will not be enjoying yourself. After she finishes singing against God, she will now play that in an, you know, those Asian speakers, those ones that are present, she will now increase those stereo speakers. Molagbara Lori. Me, I've prayed my own prayer. Me, I pastor said, let's go out. We used to live in there. We have shown. When she that man, and if you see the man, that useless man, very thin looking man, coming here to sing. When I say, Peleme, I say, yes, sir. I greet him. I say, well done, you sinner. They will ungen to play that song. I beg you, when you want to hear God, it's not with that kind of song, go. Don't say because the guy is shouting Jesus. It's not that kind of song. Go and look for Dunsi. Go and look for Orenze. Go and look for Theophilus Sunday. Yes, number one. Go and look for Nathaniel Bassi. Who else is in our area here that everybody knows? Go and look for Papa Devon. Chintok, Pastor Chintok. So we have a few people around here. We have some of them in abroad too, but those ones, I don't understand them when they are singing, so I like to stay here. Before you know, they finish the song, go. They finish the song. They finish the song. 5 minutes, they finish the song. You are still waiting for the song to start. They finish the song. They move to the next stanza. So I like my Dunsi and my guys here. Because we understand. I think there are some Igbo worshippers too that are so... You don't know the Igbo worshippers. We have some outside guys too that are doing... There used to be one guy in those days, Solomon Lange. So there are a few people. You cannot claim that there is nobody, that only Michael and Gabriel. No, we have people here. When you finish Engel, you can be playing AFL. So music can be a stimulant for hearing. That's what I'm telling you. Because somebody heard the gist now. They did not hear the point. I said music can be a stimulant. You can use music to hear God. You can use it to hear devils. Number two, whenever I'm praying and I notice that the thing is, information is like the network is breaking, I begin to pray in tongues. That's the second. I just focus my mind. Even if my wife is standing in front of me with a big plate of pounded yam, I must not be distracted now. Because there are some things that can distract me like pounded yam. But this message, I must get it. So since there's pandemic, I have to raise my voice. You know, normally I pray in my heart, but when you have something that can distract you, like pandemic and Bokota and other things, you have to raise your voice. Don't say, God sees my heart. You will not hear anything again, I assure you. You will not hear anything again. So learn how to pray in tongues on a balanced frequency. Yes, that's the word. On a balanced frequency. Please hear what I said. On a balanced frequency. So if you are praying, stay like that. Just stay like that. And continue. Boom, something will break in. Once you hold that one, the rest will start coming. Music. Praying in the spirit. Fellowship with covenant partners. I notice that sometimes when I sit with my friend, Pastor Desmond, or some of my friends, when we start talking or we start sharing, I think I've had that experience too with Bukki once. Like, we are just talking, just very briefly, bam, the inspiration will just flow. So for those of you who think you can be lone ranger in your work with God, you have already missed something. These are the practical things we are arming you for next year. So that if you find yourself in the office, you find yourself on the street, you find yourself maybe at your friend's house, and you know the Lord is beckoning to you, and you feel like the information, maybe that place is Airtel they are using. Meanwhile, everyone's network is not there. You have that one bar you have, that one bar you are seeing, Zif let us out, Prekedea, Zuta. As you are praying, let your eye become single, your spiritual eye become single. Like, God wants to talk to me. God wants to talk to me. God, just put your mind. Bible says, no man knows what is in the heart of the spirit except the spirit of God that knows the heart of God. So, you focus your heart and your mind so that the spirit can give your mind fruitfulness. Because when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. The only way to gain fruitfulness is when the Holy Spirit now brings a type of information that your mind can relate with. This is the problem. Most people pray in tongues, but their mind is absent from the Lord. Eventually, God is speaking. There's information, but there's no software to convert it. They say, Pastor, it's like God is talking to me. God is talking to me. Bro, go and learn now. I'm telling you how this thing works now. This thing I'm sharing with you now, your ability to hear God can skyrocket. Bam. Let me tell you something. There is one thing I've always shared with us in this church, and I've always told us, and let me repeat it. The scripture speaks about the man whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Is it Isaiah? Say the man who mark the man whose mind is stayed on the Lord. His end is perfect peace. I don't want to read that scripture because we will not stay below. But go and look for it. Or just display it. Let them write it down. This particular principle has been one of my greatest boosters to hearing the Lord. Some of you do not know. Some of you in this church, during service, you find me in the office just sitting out quietly. You want to come and talk to me. You really do not know you are not helping me. Those last few moments before I step out and get is the I'm sharpening my radio frequency by being quiet and still. That is something else you need to learn. Put that one down beside. That's point four now. Quietness of your spirit. But some of you go, hey, Pastor, we missed you last week. Don't miss me. I want to go and preach. Because your love for me is interfering with my assignment. Sometimes you may find me in meetings where I say, I can sense the presence of the Lord. The Lord is about to. And I begin to like hold it off, like last Sunday, 2 days ago. And then when I was done, I said, Holy Spirit. Before we even said two things, the Holy Spirit has started moving. The same thing when we went for prophetic convocation for those of you that were there. I just said, look, okay, the Lord is okay, hold on. We manage it. When I was done, because my anointing work with preaching. I'm not from Ikotu Egbe. I have to preach. So when I finish preaching, then we'll allow God to do his thing. So I'm not a diviner. So I have to preach. The same thing. It seems that every time the Lord has satisfied his pleasure by speaking to his people, then it is easier for him to begin to touch them. Somebody said to me, say, Pastor, I just want to come and see you. Just pray for me so I can rush you. I said, Don't come. Because the way you are seeing me, I say you can see me, I'm eating corn. Whoever told you to come and see me most likely did not tell you who you are coming to meet. Outside the anointing, I am like every other person. I don't know what is going to happen in the next 1 minute, except I check Google. I don't know if it's going to rain, except I check Google. But you want me to pray for you, and you have a problem that is life-threatening. And I said, attend the service. And I told you, if you are coming for the service, don't come late. I told you. Why am I telling you? Because when you come, you will sit down. You will see another version of me. The one that is not eating corn. You will see that version of me on the stage. That version of me is the person they sent you to. Not the one that you met under the tree. So when you gravitate towards the Lord by practicing some of these things I just put in your hands consistently, you will get to a point you can almost say, this is the line where Busayo, the flesh, is. This is what I need to do to move from point A to point B. Point B is the spirit Busayo. And you can almost begin to deliberately, you will know the song that you will sing that will begin to move you from point A to point B. You are in your room, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. You are in your room. There is no keyboard. There is no Ebenezer to undo the bass guitar. You are just there, but there is a particular song. There are these one or two. So anytime you sing, you will find that it's as if God is coming close to you. Those are your weapons in the days that you will be pressed on every side. Don't enter 2025 without your weapons. Hold them close. If you know you normally forget the song, open that notepad on your phone. My spiritual songs. Write all of them there. So that anytime you feel that there's opposition in your office, something is going on there, just look for one of the songs. With my mouth shall I make it known from the rising of the sun right unto his going down. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Then you now obey the final rule under that principle. It's called the rule of repetition. Which means the moment you begin to deploy a spiritual weapon, a song, repeat the song, repeat it until the darkness breaks. Somebody will say, that's why you find some of our parents' churches. You will see them, they will say, shout Jesus 7 times.
They know what they are doing. It's not it's you that thing is emptying your mouth. Many of those ancient prophets, they'll say, look at Baba Omolei. He just came. He stood on the chair. That man is over 70 years old. Stood on the chair. He said, bagbara, bagbara. And he was doing his hand like this. Ah! Baba, oh. Ah! The thing entered him. He jumped on the chair. Guest minister, oh. Jumped on the chair and said, bagbara, 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 bagbara. And the church was, the power of God was moving. Some came to receive power for their breakthrough. Some of us came to inherit what the man gave us. The law of repetition is a very powerful spiritual tool. That when you have found a very powerful key, use it again, use it again, use it again, until the darkness breaks. This is what happens when somebody receives a prophecy in church, then goes home and shouts hallelujah. Somebody heard the same prophecy and took the prophecy and went into the place of prayer and started pushing it. In 2025, if there is any spiritual principle that will work for you, you must know why that thing is working. You must know why that thing is working. You are not just, hey, we thank God. Hey, Olorun lo yowa, now God save us. No! The Bible says we are not in the dark. As children of God, we are not in the dark. We are not, come on, say I'm not in the dark. You are not in the dark. I'm putting this, some people, you know when we have meetings with pastors, senior pastors, prophets, these things that I'm sharing with you, many of them don't want you to know it. Because if you know it, you won't come to them again. They are watching now. Some of them are online. They will soon call my number. They don't want you to know it because in Kotafin Jeuni, that's how we pastor with the chop. But it is God's will for the student to enter into his kingdom with power. I say with power. Whether you're a banker or you are a nurse or you're a doctor, God wants you to be filled with power. Not that somebody will meet you somewhere and threaten you. And before your eyes, koro, something will happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to declare, I am filled with the spirit of prophecy. Therefore, I am filled with the spirit of power. When God, don't forget that when God wanted to create the world in Genesis 1, he spoke. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. You can recreate your world. You can recreate your world. The things you don't want to see, create it. Use your mouth to remove them. The things you want to see, use your mouth to invite them. And when you are done, say in Jesus' name, so that they will know who you are talking, who you represent. Because now you will see people online, they'll be telling that it's not by saying Jesus, it's not Mary that gave birth to Jesus. They are just trying to make you weak. But in this church next year, the least among us will be like King David. Amen. Even our young children here, if they see darkness, darkness will clear from their eyes. Anything that represents evil, because the least among us will be a prophet. I said the least among us will be a prophet. Even our young ones, they will see visions. I was listening to a particular brother. The brother said he started seeing visions as a child. And he was seeing visions till he grew up. He thought it was normal. His parents are Christians. He thought it was normal. He didn't know that he was different. He said, we'll be in the parlor, you'll see angels walking. He said he thought everybody was seeing the angel. The guy, I still saw his video yesterday online, on YouTube. I'll remember the name. It's a young guy. The guy is probably in his early, maybe late 30s or 40s. Well, you see, so why do you, for those who are children, why do you think I'm not talking to you? Somebody has been walking with God since he was a child. He said he thought everybody was used to seeing angels. Later, he realized that he's the only one. But today, the blindfold is removed. Amen. You will not need anybody again to tell you what you need to know. Amen. And in the name of Jesus, 2025 is delivered into your hands. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for the word we have heard. We declare that there's a release of the spirit of revelation over everyone in this room and over those that are online. Let the spirit of prophecy rest upon everyone. The true spirit of prophecy. Let it fall upon everyone. Everyone that is thirsty. Everyone that is yearning. There are some of us who are already experiencing this, but we are asking for something deeper. Receive it now. We ask also for our children. We ask for our unborn children. We ask for everyone who is connected right now and is watching online, is listening online. Let the spirit of prophecy come upon them. You will know what to do. You will not put your energy where there is no harvest. In 2025, you will not waste your time where there is no harvest. The Lord will order your steps. He will guide you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.